This morning's reading from the Old Testament is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible translation. The Lord proclaims, "When Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, and the plans are for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord." And this morning's New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, again from the Common English Bible translation. God has said, "I will never leave you or abandon you." This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke God's words to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the ways that their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As I was preparing for this service, I realized that it had been a very long time since I was last up here leading worship, and so much has changed. Having to record the service for a YouTube channel earlier in the week, and on Sundays, preparing a PowerPoint instead of a paper bulletin, and having to speak from behind a piece of plexiglass. The list goes on. If you know me at all, you know that I am not someone who handles change well, especially when it happens abruptly. And if months were people, March of 2020 would be the poster child for abrupt change. I've decided that the last thing you all probably need right now is one more sermon on surviving the ongoing pandemic that seems to have no end. Instead, I think I would rather look at it from a different angle. How do we make the best of this or any difficult situation? And what takeaways can we find to strengthen both our connection to God and our connection to each other? And how do we do that when the ways we've always done that have been taken away from us? I believe that God brings good out of bad situations and even our bad decisions. I've never believed that God causes harm to make a point. I've seen a lot of harm come out of the assumption that God causes catastrophes and illness to prove a point, that those suffering must have done something to deserve the awful things that came their way. But instead of orchestrating heartbreak, God suffers with the heartbroken. God doesn't abuse. God empathizes. And like any good parent or teacher, God strives for us to learn and grow as a result of the difficulties we go through. A few years ago, I was leading a study with the Women of Grace Circle called Half Truths: God Helps Those Who Help Themselves and Other Things the Bible Doesn't Say, by Adam Hamilton. It focused on phrases that are often attributed to the Bible, but that are not actually found in the Bible. My personal favorite, "Everything happens for a reason," was chapter 1. It's kind of a sneaky way of saying that God causes everything, good and bad, and we get what we deserve. Hamilton says that many Christians tend to view God in one of two ways. Either God is a micromanager who controls every last minute detail of our lives, or God is viewed as an absentee landlord whose presence we are always vaguely aware of, but who is rarely seen. In my mind, those two views are overly simple answers to the complex mystery of God. So back to March of 2020. The world pretty much shut down, originally for a matter of a few weeks, and then for a longer and longer period of time. We bounced through a series of ups and downs that seemed never-ending. Where exactly were we supposed to find anything positive? Personally, I was struggling to figure out new ways to connect with all of the groups I serve in my ministry here at Rocky River Presbyterian Church. I started posting weekly kids' messages on our Facebook page, hosting our adult education classes on Zoom, holding our youth fellowship meetings outside around a campfire in the back parking lot, or on Zoom when the weather got too cold even for a fire. I worked with my colleagues to put together an entirely virtual vacation Bible school for about 75 kids. I guided the youth as they put together an entirely virtual youth Sunday service, or more accurately, they guided me. I am not a digital native, and they astounded me with the ease with which they were able to record snippets on their phones in their own homes and pull all of them together into a polished and meaningful service of worship. For many weeks, I worked from our dining room table until I was able to come back to my office at church. There were many times I felt inadequate, exhausted, overwhelmed, and discouraged. Does that sound familiar to any of you? There is not a person here or anywhere who hasn't been drastically affected by all of the craziness of the past 18 or so months. Everyone has dealt with the challenges differently, but the isolation, loss of routine, grief, and sadness were there for all of us. About 6 months in, however, I started to realize something. The stress and anxiety were still very present, but little things started happening. On one youth Zoom, I asked the kids to think about some of the positive things they were finding in the middle of all of the negatives, wondering if they could name even one. Some of the answers I got: I'm finally getting enough sleep. My family of six has dinner together every night. We never used to do that. Or, I am actually reading books, not just the ones that I have to read for school. Of course, they were finding the remote learning and separation from their friends difficult, but they were noticing and identifying the little things to be grateful for. Our adult education class met on Zoom for an entire year. Many of these folks, myself included, had never used Zoom to communicate, but they took to it quickly. Some of the folks leading used an amazing array of video skills to share YouTube videos, photographs, and music to enrich the classes. Discussion was lively, and if anyone missed the session, they could watch a recording of it at a later time. Those vital connections were maintained in a new and different way. Personally, I also realized I had lots to be grateful for despite the circumstances. I have three older brothers who all live in New England. About a month into lockdown, I suggested that we do a family Zoom call to check in with each other. It quickly morphed into a weekly family cocktail hour, and we never ran out of things to talk about. We are continuing that practice even now. The downtime afforded my husband and I the time we needed to plan and build our empty nest home and move after 28 years in the same house. And while our family gatherings were painfully sparse during the worst of it all, we were blessed with a third grandchild last spring, making our renewed family times even sweeter than before. So much to be grateful for in a time of sometimes overwhelming anxiety and stress. In my office, I have two long shelves covered with a weird hodgepodge of items. There are books, of course, but there are also photos of our kids and grandkids, special events with the youth and children of our church. There's a wide array of crafts created over nearly two decades of youth retreats and vacation Bible schools. Reminders of meaningful conferences I've been part of, small tokens of faith and gratitude given to me by friends. I can't bear to part with any of them because almost every one of them is a reminder of a special time or event in my ministry here. Many of those events came as the result of a difficult time or challenge I was facing. A few years ago, one of the youth in our congregation was preparing to leave for college. She came to visit me and brought me a gift. She made me a small hand-painted plaque with the verse from Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you," painted on it. The plaque sits on one of those shelves. It is a much-needed reminder for me that in the midst of the chaos and disruption of the past months, God is a constant. In our Old Testament reading, the prophet Jeremiah is addressing the Judean exiles who were deported to Babylon. God's message is clear. Do not resist your situation. Carry on with your lives in exile and learn to come to terms with your situation. This message is balanced, however, with the further words that the situation is not final. There is hope for better times to come. As they settle into their lives in exile, they will find shalom, peace. And God will give them shalom in the future when they are once again in the place they call home. In difficult times, when we look for opportunities to learn and grow, we empower ourselves to see whatever we've been through as something that can be ultimately beneficial, even if it's uncomfortable in the short term. It isn't always easy to do that, especially when things happen that we don't really understand, or when things just seem downright unfair. The trick is in keeping perspective. And in addition, if we look closely, there are often things to be grateful for in even the hardest of circumstances. I have a dear friend who goes way back with me to elementary school. Her name also happens to be Lisa. We were together through all of the growing up milestones, the first boyfriends, learning to drive, going to college. We were in each other's weddings. Now, I haven't seen Lisa in person in over 30 years, but we've kept in close contact through the adult milestones in our lives, buying a first home, having children, later marrying off those children and welcoming grandchildren. Last year, when the pandemic was at a high point, Lisa's husband, Craig, was diagnosed with colon cancer. Despite early diagnosis and intervention, at his six-month checkup post-treatment, Craig was told the cancer was back at stage 3. He is currently going through a course of heavy radiation and chemotherapy. And when that is finished, he will have extensive surgery. Lisa, Craig, their 4 daughters, and their families were devastated at that news. Who wouldn't be? But very quickly, that desperation and fear seemed to take a back seat to hope and love. The family has found the strength to see the tiniest shreds of good in a world that currently seems very dark. Their faith in God has never wavered, and if anything, it is stronger than ever. Lisa sends updates filled with hope for new treatments, family gatherings filled with love for their 6 beautiful granddaughters, and gratitude for the friends who hold them deeply in their prayers. Their love of God and their love for each other as a family will get them through whatever happens. Life is always going to contain darkness, but we get to decide whether or not we will appreciate the light. Sometimes we have to dig very deep to find it, but it is always there, somewhere, just waiting to be uncovered. If you haven't found it yet, keep digging. It's there. God promises us that. Amen.